And in studio is Dan Clater, state senator from Baton Rouge, Republican, who is one of three legislators who have introduced bills as the session approaches on Monday to abolish the death penalty in our state. He has experience with the criminal justice system, and it is something that years ago would have been beyond the pale for a conservative to sponsor a bill like this. But Senator Clater, you are going down that path. Why so?
Well, there are a lot of reasons, chief of which is my faith, in that I believe that it's important there. I'm a Catholic. We believe in the sanctity of life from conception until natural death. I think that participating in this system of the death penalty cheapens life and degrades society. But on the flip side, if you look at it as far as a fiscal conservative, we have an expansive program that doesn't work.
We haven't executed anybody in Louisiana for some time.
More than 10 years, and the last one was a volunteer.
Yeah, who wanted to die. So,
correct.
And that's true in many parts of the United States, but there are others who believe, somebody like Derek Todd Lee, for example, who died in prison last year, that he deserved to go a very long time ago. Are there crimes so heinous that would warrant the death penalty?
Well, you know, I'm not great on quoting scripture, but it's hard to grant life to those that nobody thinks deserves it. If it were an easy thing, it wouldn't be much of a discussion on it. But sure, there are folks that deserve to die, but I don't want to give them what they deserve. I want them to live out a life of imprisonment.
Well, there is a cost for imprisoning people for many years, but there's also a cost that involves going through the legal system. And most believe that that cost, if you're just doing it from a dollars and cents perspective, exceeds the amount it takes to imprison them. Is that correct?
Well, we're going to find out if that's correct, and that we're going to have a full hearing and have plenty of discussion on it. But from the information that I have available to me, in 2016, we spent on the order from the state public defender, not as it relates to the individual public defenders, and that some are able to take care of that, on the order of $10 million to defend these crimes. And then we have the other things that go along with it from the other folks. So I would say it's on the order of more than $15 million a year easily.
So that's real money when we're talking about cuts to higher education and health care and the budget always being in a morass.
Well, if you put it over 10 years, which is about the time since the last state killing, it'd be $150 million for one execution.
State Senator Dan Clater is with us. We're told Terry Landry, the representative from New Iberia, will be unable to join us, but Dan Clater is out in front on legislation to abolish the death penalty in our state. He's joined by Representative Landry and Steve Pilant, representative from Winsboro. They are sponsoring legislation to get rid of capital punishment in Louisiana. I recall 30 years ago, in the summer of 1987, seven men were executed at Angola during that summer when Edwin Edwards was in the third term in his final year running for re-election. In Arkansas, our neighboring state, lawyers for the state told a federal judge yesterday that inmates set for execution during an unprecedented timetable are merely trying to run out the clock rather than raise valid issues about their clemency request. A key execution drug expires April 30th. Eight inmates are due to die. That's eight in four double executions beginning April 17th in Arkansas. Six of the inmates are seeking clemency and are asking for significant and individualized consideration for their requests. So a different approach right now in Arkansas, as opposed to Louisiana, where we have not executed anybody in this state since 2010. And Dan Clater, who was a prosecutor himself at one time, there are people who say that this is a deterrent, that this deters people from committing violent crimes. How do you respond?
Well, they have other states that don't have the death penalty that have lower homicide rates than we do. We have the highest homicide rate in the United States. So I'm a believer in what Mark Twain has said as far as there's lies, damn lies, and statistics. It's very, very difficult to sort through that, and that I don't think you find many people that commit murder that said, you know, I thought about it, but I was worried about the death penalty versus life penalty. I don't think it comes into the equation on the folks that commit murder.
877-217-5757. Should the death penalty be abolished? In Louisiana, we've had 28 executions since 1976 when the death penalty was restored. Overall, in the United States, 1,448 executions over the last 41 years, and 542 of those have been in Texas. Four people this year in Texas. They like to execute in the Lone Star State.
Yeah, they do a pretty good job of it. And I don't know that that's deterring people from committing murder there as well. When you really dig into the statistics, I think you'll find out that it actually is not a deterrent. But I think another mistake that we make as people is that we assume that we know the hearts of the victims and the hearts of the victims' families as far as what they would like done. You would be surprised. I was at a sentencing where a classmate of mine had been killed. It wasn't a first-degree murder, but it was homicide nevertheless, and her father appeared in court, and I was all ready for him to testify to lock him up forever and things of that sort, and he forgave the people and asked that they not be sentenced forever. And so the capacity of people to have forgiveness and to move on is very interesting. Where to me, if you killed my child or killed my wife, I could probably kill you with my bare hands. But when you step back and look at it in the teachings of the church, and statistically, does it do anything? I think we're all worse off for having the death penalty.
It's a controversial issue, but the movement appears to be toward getting rid of it. And in other parts of the country, for example, in the Northeast, only four people have been executed in the last 41 years in the whole region. In the West, only 85 people. The Midwest, 179, and the South, 1,180. And Texas leads the pack, 542. Oklahoma is second with 112. Florida, 92. Go down the list, Georgia, 69. Alabama, 58. North Carolina and South Carolina, 43. And Louisiana at 28. Arkansas, 27. May soon to be 35, though. So it seems to be, in this region, a southern phenomenon, and that we kill people if they have killed others. And in Louisiana, we did have the electric chair for many years. Many thought that by getting rid of the electric chair, that would be a solution to those who thought it was cruel and unusual punishment. Is that really true?
Well, on the cruel and unusual, it looks like it's had a direction of talking. The dialogue's been around those of with mental incapacities. It appears that you can still put people to death by the firing squad.
In Louisiana?
No, not in Louisiana, but, you know, it's a national basis. Utah, Gary Gilmore wanted to go out that way.
And he did.
And he did. But the manner, I don't think, is really as much a part of the equation as it is on just who is receiving the death penalty.
Well, death is death. An unequal distribution as far as people of means and power? Do they, if they commit a heinous crime, do they have a better chance of averting and avoiding the death penalty than others who may not have the high-powered defense lawyers and all the legal mechanisms to avoid an execution?
Well, there are statistics that support what you're saying. And it's just a stat, if a white man kills a black man, it's less likely that he will be executed as opposed, or a white woman kills a black woman. It's less likely that the white person will be executed, where if you reverse the roles, uh-huh, it's more likely that they'll be executed. Is that a function of race? Is that a function of poverty? I can't answer that question at this time.
297-5633, Jenna in Mid-City. Good morning, Jenna. You're on Talk Louisiana with Senator Claytor. Whoops. I think we lost Jenna. But there are those who also say that if you're a man, you're more likely to be executed. Most of the murders are committed by men, but there have been a few cases in Texas in particular, Carla Faye Tucker, in which women have been executed.
Sure, and we've executed a woman in the state of Louisiana, and we have one woman on death row currently, and that she was had to be moved from St. Gabriel there when they had the flood.
Invariably, it's somebody who commits a murder, but I witnessed an execution 30 years ago when a man was executed. He'd broken out of prison with another fellow, and they killed two people, but it was the other guy who was the trigger man, Jimmy Glass. But Jimmy Wingo, who was along for the ride, he got executed as well, and he hadn't actually physically killed anybody. But if you're in the commission of a crime and somebody gets killed, you can be executed in this state, obviously.
Sure, the law of principles. And if you're a principal to the crime, the normal way that that's explained is the wheelman in an armed robbery. If you're the wheelman and the other folks go in to commit the armed robbery, you're just as much a part of the crime as anybody else. And so you're the wheelman that go in to commit an armed robbery and somebody dies, you're responsible as well under the law of principles.
We're visiting with State Senator Dan Clater. You are in your final term, I guess.
I am.
As a senator.
I am. It's been an honor and a privilege representing the people of Senate District 16. I've never considered it my district. I've just considered myself being the steward of it for this period of time, and somebody else will have a chance here shortly. And I say shortly, well, 3 years from now.
Well, Dan Clater is going out with vigor, and he has sponsored a bill to do away with capital punishment in Louisiana. Now, would this apply to people on death row, or would it apply to future potential death row inmates?
It's prospective only from August 1st of 2017, and that it's a little bit hard to justify it logistically as far as what you're saying, but if you look at the difference, the main difference is folks have been through a trial, people have been made promises, district attorneys have spent a lot of resources. And I do believe in the system. I just don't believe in the penalty that is there. And so it would be August 1st, 2017, crimes committed thereafter. So if somebody commits a first-degree murder today and gets prosecuted for it, they're going to be exposed to the death penalty.
But eventually death row would go away.
Eventually it would. Eventually when we're talking about who it applies to, since the reinstatement of the death penalty, 10 people have been released from prisons. There's a question of some, the prosecutors would say, well, it wasn't a question of innocence, it was just a proof issue. They don't by and large come out and say we made a mistake and they're innocent. They just say that certain evidence has been thrown out and we can no longer prosecute it. But as it relates to the folks on death row, if the stats continue to apply, you would expect some of the 70-some-odd on death row to be exonerated.
Your number again is 297-5633. A bit more time with State Senator Dan Clater, Republican from Baton Rouge. Now, Republican to do this, that took some chutzpah, didn't it?
Well, I don't know if it did or didn't, in that it's something that I've come to believe in over time. It's not necessarily a big Republican issue, and that the Republican National Party does believe in the death penalty, and it's part of our state platform. But we also, as Republicans, don't believe in funding programs that are ineffective and don't work. So I think we're required to have that conversation.
877-217-5757 is your number, or 297-5633 in Baton Rouge. Rancy in Millerville. Good morning, Rancy. You're on with Senator Clater.
Yes, hi. Welcome back, Jim.
Thank you.
Yes, Senator Clater, why might legislators be against abolishing capital punishment? And I have a second question, a follow-up. If the capital punishment does continue, what might be the most humane way to execute someone? Thank you.
Sure. So on why might they be opposed to it? Well, I guess if they have some difficulties understanding their Christian beliefs, which all of them are. I guess they might be against it, but the New Testament definitely suggests that we should not do that. Old Testament has a view on it. But it's probably just an issue of they want to be reelected, and that about 75% of the state seems to be in favor, but I don't know that they have all the facts, and so I'm helping educate them. And as far as a humane way, it sounds terrible to say it, but the guillotine works pretty good. Separates your head from the rest of your body, and you're dead pretty quickly. It's pretty gruesome, but it's very effective and quite quick.
Coletta near LSU. Good morning, Coletta. You're on Talk Louisiana with Senator Dan Clater. Hi, Coletta.
Yes, this is Coretta from Baton Rouge, and I'm really happy to hear this topic being discussed. NPR recently had a big workup that they did about the public defender system in Louisiana, and that it was being sued in a class action because of basically the lack of public defenders available for defendants. And I think that plays a big role, even for people like me who generally do believe in the idea of the death penalty, but don't believe that it's being implemented fairly, and that if you're poor, if you're a minority, if you're male, you're much more likely to get it. But more importantly, it doesn't seem like there is a justice in that people aren't having access to public defenders. So it seems like if the system was working correctly, people would be much more, I think, accepting of it. But the system has been broken for a long time, and it's just not a lot of confidence, I feel, that justice is actually being served by use of the death penalty. So I'm happy to hear this being brought up, and I guess I'm curious as to the senator's thoughts on the likelihood of success.
Well, on the likelihood of success, there are two bills. Terry Landry's is in the House. The bill that I'm bringing is in the Senate. I expect that it'll come out of the Senate Committee on Judiciary C, and that the chairman there is favorable to it. And then as far as what happens on the floor, that's anybody's guess. But I think that you'll be surprised from some of the support that happens. But I expect that, pardon the pun, it'll probably meet its death on the House floor.
You think so?
That's my guess, but, you know, you never can tell. I'm not playing for a tie or a loss. I'd like to win. I don't bring legislation simply to take up everybody's time.
Now, quite often, and you've done it today, I hear lawmakers pro and con on the death penalty using their religious beliefs as the rationale. Now, if we use our religious beliefs as the rationale on one matter, should we use it on all, or is that something that should never be done?
Well, I think the Bible is a good place to start, and the origin of most of our laws. I don't think it has any laws on cyber technology in the Bible, but we have, in this particular case, I've given you reasons both that are religious and fiscal. And so I think you mix it all up in there together and make a choice on it, but I do suggest that you be consistent in what you say, but a lot of people would suggest that you can contort Scripture into whatever you want.
Well, and also there are those who quote Scripture, particularly the Old Testament, and they say, look, the death penalty is appropriate.
Yeah, well, and I guess we can get a big stack of stones and travel on up there to the death house, and we don't need drugs or a guillotine. We can just stone them to death. But I think we're a little bit beyond the Old Testament. A lot of good wisdom there, but there's a reason that we have a New Testament.
Why do you think in the South, Dan Clater, the death penalty is more palatable than it is in other regions? When we look at those numbers, they're really startling that since it was reinstated, capital punishment in the United States, 1,448 people killed in 41 years, and 1,180 of those have been in the South.
Yeah, it's interesting. I can't remember the name of the guy that wrote the book Outliers. And
Malcolm Gladwell.
Yeah, he does a bit on, it's kind of interesting, but I read it a long time ago where he suggests that we're genetically predisposed to be killers here from the people that settled the area. So I don't necessarily believe that we're all slaves to our genetics, but I can't answer that. If you have the answer, please share it with me.
What about the session as a whole? Independent of this issue, you're going to be a busy bee.
Yeah, well, we have justice reinvestment issues that are outside the scope of this death penalty conversation. And we spend more than three-quarters of $1 billion on the Department of Corrections. And so folks from the left and folks from the right and just reasonable folks that fall somewhere along the spectrum are all agreeing that we can do better as far as who we're incarcerating and just for what. LSU has some information on that. So that'll be an important discussion, as will infrastructure and taxes.
I want to close our discussion with Senator Claytor with a portion of an email written by Daryl Hunt at talk@talklouisiana.org. He says, regardless of whether one believes capital punishment to be morally acceptable, it is impossible to ignore overwhelming evidence that capital punishment results in the execution of innocent people. He cites 2002 Ryan Commission report, which concluded that 13% of those executed in prior years in Illinois had been wrongfully convicted.
Yeah, I don't think we can take the attitude of kill them all and let God sort it out. That's not the people that we are. That's a concern. In Louisiana, we've had 10 people that have been exonerated since we've returned to the death penalty. So certainly it's an issue, and if you haven't been put to death and you're exonerated, you get to go home. I don't know what we do on the other.
That's a better scenario. I think most everybody would agree with that. That's one thing you do have consensus, but you say it's going to be a tough sell in the House.
That's my expectation.
Okay. Thank you, Dan Claytor, and we'll be calling again with the session approaching right around the corner.